And it seems as we talk about these Baptist history things on Sunday morning that a lot of the dates coincide in January. So this morning, again, we're going to talk about this time, the Anabaptists. And the 1520s were, this is the time we're talking about, were a terrible time for Baptists in Europe. One author said it's amazing that any would survive, and the persecution was so great. But this morning, we want to talk about a family, the Hutt family, H-U-T, spelled H-U-T, and talk about one of the earliest martyrs in the movement was the daughter of Hans Hutt. And history doesn't even record her name, but we know her story. And we'll talk about Hans and his family. When someone was saved in this time, it was almost expected that you would be a martyr. You might remember me mentioning that some of these men led hundreds to the Lord in the time that God gave them before they died, and hundreds were baptized. And what's interesting about that is at that time, that was a public profession of your faith. When you were baptized, now everyone knew that you stood against the state church, that you stood for the Scripture, and you were a target. So it was much more difficult thing to be baptized back then, and realizing that you were opening yourself up to a lot of persecution, perhaps death. But Hans Hutt was an outstanding evangelist in this time. His daughter, as I said, is unnamed, but she died on January 25th, 1527. She was drowned for her faith, and her martyrdom took place in Bamberg, which is just a few miles north of Nuremberg in Germany. But I want to mention the Hutt household. Before he was saved, Hans was a religious man. He was quite the personality, exuberant personality is recorded. And he was known for his great enthusiasm, but also for his restlessness. He was very restless. He was not saved, and makes sense. He actually met with Luther at one time and tried to discuss some things that bothered him about the Lutheran movement. But he went away from that still unsaved. Later, he was led to the Lord under the ministry of a man named Hans Denk. And immediately when he was saved, the Lord directed all that energy and personality into a personal witness for himself. And on May 26th, Hans was saved, 1526, and I don't know if you're following dates, but follow the dates here. His daughter was martyred in January of 1527. Hans was saved in May of 1526. So follow the dates here, because this is very interesting what happens. But he immediately began sharing his faith. He was baptized. He was saved before May 26th. He was baptized on May 26th, 1526. And he immediately began sharing his faith with his family. His daughter recognized all this restlessness that her father had, and how he now had perfect peace. He still had that great personality, but perfect peace about his future. And that led her to follow the Scripture and be saved. And she was saved just a few weeks after he was. The daughter immediately began reading her Bible, was caught up in witnessing, going door to door. And what's an interesting note here is that this is the 1520s, and you have to we understand what most attitude was about women. Women were never supposed to do things in public. They was frowned upon. They were, in a sense, almost bondservants. The Anabaptists, though, their attitude was far superior to others. They understood the Scripture. They understood that they were the leader in the home, but that the women had a place, of course, as the Scripture says. And they referred to the ladies in their assemblies as sisters. This was unusual, as I say, for this time, as this was not understood in the normal world. And women were encouraged to witness and to witness for Christ personally and tell of their conversion, to go door to door and speak with other ladies and those that would listen. And so this is very unusual this time, but that is exactly what Hans's daughter did. And of course, if we talk about those dates, he was baptized in May of 1526. and she was going to die in January 1527. So Hans immediately began he began preaching all over, and he was called into Germany to go preach. He took his family and traveled to Bamberg to do some evangelistic work. He met considerable success there. He led several men to the Lord who had become great leaders in the Anabaptist movement. And then he was called north to Augsburg to preach further north in Germany. And it was while he was away that his daughter was arrested. She was very visible and, again, witnessing door to door as the Bible commanded. And this made her a target. She was arrested. And evidently she had a great grasp of the New Testament in this very short time, because upon her arrest, she was severely confronted by church leaders. She was accosted by these councils, and she gave a clear and convincing answers about her faith in Christ Jesus Savior. She refused to disavow the Lord, even under the threat of torture. The result of that was that she was found guilty and sentenced to death by drowning. Now, this follows the pattern that was usually practiced by state churches. The men would be burned at the stake. The women would be drowned normally. And so on January 25th, Hans Hut's daughter was led to the river, where she was placed in a bag. Heavy weights were attached to the bag, and she was thrown into the river and died. Now, as you might have noticed, Hans was away preaching, and we can't even imagine, I'm sure, the heartache that he felt now being away and hearing that his daughter was arrested and drowned. However, he did not rest. He felt that he had little time to mourn, and he, in the next few months, found him laboring in Bavaria and Austria, considerable results as he preached in those areas. But because of his exposure, that he was very visible, he was also arrested and imprisoned in Augsburg. He also was terribly abused by his inquisitors. His son Philip later would write that he was put on the rack. They say it was horrendous what they did to him in torture. He would not repudiate his faith, and then they had to give him a break because they didn't want to kill him. So they took him off the rack. They put him in prison, but a fire began. And not sure exactly what happened, but either he died in the fire or he was fixated and later died. But what happened next is very interesting. The authorities were incensed that he would die before they could pronounce a sentence on him. So what they did was they tied him to his chair and they took the body to court and put him on trial and pronounced him guilty. And pronounced the death sentence on him. Then they took he and his chair and burned him at the stake, as they wanted to do before he died. They were just so incensed. That's how depraved this had to become. It had been less than a year since the martyrdom of his daughter, but on that date, of course, Hans and his daughter would be reunited in heaven for eternity. And now I want to tell you the rest of the story. Hans, who died in 1527, was 37 years old. His daughter, who we don't know her name, was 12. Just amazing, the spiritual maturity of these dear saints of God, and knowing that they had such a short time to live. And just makes me think that we who know the Lord, that we ask Christ for the courage, to have courage, as we know who holds the future. Our verse this morning, interesting enough, reads, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber." And I want to thank the Lord for these dear folks and their testimony, and they're paying the ultimate price for their faith, and what a testimony it is for us now, 500 years later, and to learn of their story.